I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Under the trench coat, with rolling in the cake.
What?
Okay. We all ready?
Yeah.
Yipper.
Hello and welcome to Under the Trench Coat, our after show. I'm the now former GM, Brad.
I am Nate. Also Kat.
What up, guys? It's Nightlight. Flips chair backwards. How we doing?
Flips chair backwards.
I'm Nick. And, I am the light before the dawn.
You bring the dawn.
Yeah.
Right into Eris's back.
God, that felt so bad. It was like, it like felt good, but felt bad. You know, it was one of those that I was like, this is definitely going to be a thing that works. Also, it's pretty fucking shitty to do. Which is why, like, my initial thought, and mainly because we do dark stuff in our solo moments, and I don't mean, like, when we're by ourselves, but in our solo campaigns, stuff gets kind of dark. Which is whatever. Like, that's just, it might speak to us as people, but that's not important right now. And so my initial instinct was to just be like, cool, she made that choice to save you. I'm making a choice to give her cancer and then like radiate. And I was like, no, maybe don't say it that way. Like maybe you can imply that. Like, I'm irradiating her and it's going to do tick damage. Sure, that's fine. Don't straight up say, I gave your wife cancer, fucker. What you going to do about it? Would have super sucked more had I done that. That's the last thing that fucker hears. That would have been so much worse. Like that honestly probably would have fucked Elias up. He would have been like, oh god, I'm a monster. Whereas the way he did it, it was a little like euthanasia-ish, I guess. Like, it wasn't completely mean. I didn't like punch her in the fucking face or anything. I pressed my hand to her back and put solar energy inside her body, which probably didn't feel great, but
do you guys remember way, way back in the beginning of the campaign when I said Luther and Eris were older, but they definitely didn't look it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. No, I remember. And yeah, I didn't realize that it was all her doing it. Hey, so big thing on my mind, fuck Luther.
Did I do an okay enough job of making him bad but not?
Yes,
because that was goal at least was to me.
I get his perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
But him just refusing to see how, like, I think that for in Nate's mind, that removing all of these people, and I don't know if I didn't do how well I did explaining this with an episode, but removing all of the people that they did, like, that had to have had an effect, you know, removing
it may very well have.
Imagine taking all the scientists working on a cure for fucking cancer and being like, all right, you're all going over here.
My brain was trying to make it maybe like Thanos-y, but not quite on his level, because obviously he just was like, okay, half the people are gone. Woo. You know, things are better now. Whereas theirs was like, well, if we save people, we're helping people, you know? So it was like a more good side Thanos-y thing. So that was kind of my game plan. I wanted them to be good, but not.
Yeah.
You definitely more came on the being a huge douche side of that equation, though.
That,
and it's kind of hard because he was so pretentious about how what they were doing in the world. And I mean, they did incredible things. We established that throughout the entire thing, is that Luther and Eris had accomplished incredible things. But the cost of that.
Part of the reason that I did him that way, where he was like, my shot was more like super confident about it, was honestly because like the interactions he's had with Nate before. You know what I mean? Like when he spoke with you, you've been like details. And now obviously you're different character growth, but yeah. He doesn't know that. So yeah. He was like, I'm going to give this smart guy, the details. And he's going to be like, cool, let's go.
This is the thing that, I mean, and maybe this was on purpose to kind of show the character growth, is that if this interaction had happened in episode 3, I think that Nate would have been like, yeah,
that's exactly. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that there is a set of dominoes, as we like to talk about, where Elias would have been and honestly, you say if it would have been episode 3, Elias, with all the stuff that's been going on and everything, Elias isn't that far from, like, there was part of me this episode that was contemplating like whether Elias would lean into that or not, be like, you know what, yeah, like, you guys fucked up by letting everyone die, but you did get everyone here, and like, if we can bring you back upstairs and now we have these powers, like, we can all do this together. But I think the I genocided the planet because government sucks was pretty fucking con in the pros and cons.
Yeah, I feel like I've had those arguments with Brayden before, just in different contexts. Yeah, like that was the level of frustration, is like, oh my god, you were just absolutely refusing to see a different side to this. Because I fully admit there was parts of it, it's like, I get it and it makes sense. Like the argument makes sense, but I can't get over the damage that was done because of those actions. And them say, well, we won't be the ones ruling it. Well, then, but what?
But they're the ones ruling it right now.
They're the ones ruling it. There they were.
Yeah.
Before the boom. But what? What would be different if they started to expand out? You know, that, you know, like, oh, we're gonna redo the, like, they're going to, they would end up being the de facto leaders of the world, because that's what New Ethos was, is that it was a, you know, Luther and Eris were in charge. They were the bosses. And I bet that they would argue that, as like, oh no, you know, that's not who we are. We're just, you know, we're just trying to guide things and trying to do our work. Well, yeah, but you're still in charge.
And
you're still the one pulling the strings, whether you admit it or not.
I think the biggest undertaking, I mean, how are they going to tell people that?
Yeah, I think I said that in episodes, like, how are you going to address this to all of these people? How are you not going to get a riot from that?
Yeah.
Like, have these people lose their shit.
Because I feel like Nate and Elias as Heat Lightning and not Deacon, I feel like they probably all dealt with that, breaking that news, but it's different, right? It's not the people who promised you things coming up and being like, so, we lied. It's been 400 years. It's yeah. It's us coming up out of the bowels of the city going, so guess what we fucking found? A million people. All hot dogged downstairs in the deep freeze. So that's a fucking thing. Also, planet super dead.
Way more than a million. Like that's yeah. Why I said what he could see.
Yeah. Like there's still gonna be that anger, and I mean there's potential that there could be people that went around and broke stuff, but it's gonna be a different mood because we didn't lie to them, we brought them the truth. Whereas Luther and Eris, mm-hmm. there's no good way for them to give that news to people. Like, the only thing they could do is, I guess, like, do something with the kids or, like, start waking people up with memories of the fact that, like, stuff didn't go the way they planned and it's been, like, and just try and feed the reality to them through false pretenses or whatever. But the people that are there that think they're working to stop what has happened from happening, you're not gonna fucking get them to be on your side. There's no chance in hell those people are gonna flip for you.
Yeah, this would be a very touchy area, and I'm glad that we're not having to do it within game.
Right.
Oh, we get to let the imagination just do what it wants for yep. that, because that's not going to be an easy transition no matter how it happens. But, you know, Deacon was the leader, and he's, you know, so I think that you being able to use that tool of Deacon, plus we're Heat Lightning. We ever since the beginning, we've been trying to get the truth out there.
Yep.
And, you know, being able to play on those things
is
the only way that'll happen.
We'd have to release an apology video.
Oh, yeah. BT Dubs, Deacon, not so bad. We found out some things.
People of New Ethos, We wanted to say that we're sorry, but also, okay, what happened was Deacon Bray, super douchebag. The weird energy being that lives inside his body, kind of fucking chill. So
the original Deacon is totally DB.
Yeah, 100%.
And then this is
the original Deacon is the one that clocked you in the fucking hallway and gave you a stupid look.
Yeah.
Yep. For your fucking elbow pads.
Yeah, I know. What a dick. So I have a burning question.
Uh-huh.
Who were the anonymous benefactors from New Ethazon?
Okay, so I hadn't officially wrote them up yet. Like, I don't have them on any sort of paper or anything as far as characters. But what I had planned from the beginning is the anonymous benefactors were who the kids were playing in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Cause I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah. Like there was part of me, cause I went back and forth on this and I was like, I wonder if it's fucking like Amanda, like, or she's part of it.
Let's see. That would have been cool too.
Like that Deacon knows that will be helpful, you know, like, and so he, you know, he had her help, but like I had that thought go through my head.
It was Bill.
And there was moments where it was, you know, Luther and Eris, maybe.
It was Bill.
It was Bill.
I had plans of you guys actually meeting them at one point, but mm-hmm. like, in all honesty, you guys bypassed a bunch of my ribs and my skeleton. So
well, don't kidnap my fucking pseudo girlfriend, you dick.
I didn't do it on purpose.
The audience voted for it. You fucking instigated so many aspects of that bait and hook.
But yeah, I had thoughts of it, and what my plan was to do when that happened was I was going to see if you minded stitching in the kids reading lines, so like we would interact it and then stitch the children in instead. You know what I mean?
Huh. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah.
I thought that might have been kind of nifty.
That would be. That would be super cool.
Yeah. Somehow kids created our
super intelligence is a superpower.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I'm saying right now, fuck Luther for his judgment over the spandex. Like, that was a pretty harsh call.
That was. That was pretty rough. I couldn't help that one. I'm like, man. So, like, because again, your character development, you're totally fucking different than you were when he talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, it was one of those, like, kind of a jab at what you've become, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he made it. That's the funny thing. He made this happen. They gave a whole bunch of people superpowers. People create the things that destroy themselves.
I am become death.
Children. I lost the word there for a minute.
Or you become death. So Luther and Eris, they created the powered people because that was part of their better the world plan?
Yep.
Okay. And that at the tower, that was what made the powers?
Yep, and that was on that was technically on purpose. Like, you didn't see anything different. Nate didn't see anything different. Like, nothing went wrong because nothing went wrong.
It did what it was supposed to.
Yeah, it did what it was supposed to do.
Oh, so his
my experiments.
I was gonna say, so his experiment did it. Like, they instigated it that way.
Yep,
that's fucking awesome. I didn't know that. I thought that was just like some fucking gazebo or some shit.
Nope. He literally did everything right, and they played it off like something went wrong.
Okay, so
see, I think that pisses off Nate more than anything right there. He's super mad about that.
Well, especially because you got called upstairs and asked me, like, why'd you fuck up? Like, you got put on leave because you...
No, he got put on leave because he tried to recreate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean... That's still on Luther's head.
Yes, it is, but...
There's another thing that's kind of been on my mind, because wasn't Deacon the one that put out a call for people for a new city?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that before or after the switcheroo on him?
Before. What do you mean?
Before we oopsied the ring off of him?
That was before.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It got like heavily picked up like after.
Yeah.
But he initially mentioned there were like that he was working, that there was stuff about one. Yeah.
That was one of those like paperwork things, you know? Like, so before you guys initially let the other guy go, paperwork was being signed and things were being pushed. And, you know, it takes a year to sign papers, but only a week to actually do the thing.
Okay, so if we're asking burning campaign questions, I have a couple. Why did Luther and Eris have a question mark next to Deacon's name on their will?
Yeah.
Because they weren't 100% sure if things happened to them, if they wanted stuff to go to him, since they couldn't fully control the power or the entity.
Okay, that makes sense.
Do you have an idea for what that entity really is, like, in layman's terms? Because it was kind of convoluted the way that it was explained in the game.
My kind of...
Which makes sense, but I'm just curious what the closest approximation would be.
My kind of thought process was, like, they... It kind of like tapping into the weave of the planet, except, you know, technically there wasn't magic, you know? So this was like the sentience of the planet being pulled out of wherever its comfy spot was. That was kind of why I went with the hot springs things, because, you know, you read stuff about shit like that. Sometimes they don't know where they come from. They don't know where the water's flowing from.
I mean, you could have made them like an eldritch being, you know, like a, yeah, you know, it's like an old Lovecraftian god that was trapped. Could have been a direction to go.
Yeah, it could have been, but not my direction. You could have done that. No, I wanted him to be this like being that's neither like really necessarily good, but he wants good things, because obviously the whole planet thing, that was kind of my thought process behind him.
He is the life stream.
Yeah, kind of. And then so my kind of idea was that there's this, they managed to draw that energy out, and then so they were trying to recreate a similar instance. But they didn't want to, you know, possibly pull out a whole nother entity. So they were doing it on a smaller scale. And that's how they did the powers. So it's like the same thing. Like, everybody who got powers caught a part of this from that experiment. But it's not necessarily him.
How would this have gone if we hadn't removed the Deacon ring, the DB ring?
I'm not sure. Like, I hadn't really thought of an instance where we would have, you know, brought that to light, but I would have figured something out depending on the situation.
I guess, you know, if you put that red button in front of us, we're gonna start poking at that red button. Yeah.
And then I had to figure something out on how I wanted to do it exactly. Like, I wanted to put it in there and I wanted to make it sort of obvious, but I wasn't like super gunning for it right off the bat. And then you guys did the ring stuff and I'm like, okay, this works. And then I made him look like a super fucking bad guy, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Worked out in my benefit.
Yeah. Dick.
Why were people being strapped to chairs and having their powers extracted?
Because they were attempting to find out if they could just take the powers out and transfer them to other people.
So, you know, like mail order soldiers or yep. mail order servants. You just, or, like, take somebody who you know will be subservient and then plug a power into them.
Yeah, I mean, not quite on that devious of a scale, but yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep it that devious of a scale because... Like, I feel bad about Eris because, I mean, she wasn't actively fighting us. But...
Like Luther said, though, like, I mean, she was making conscious choices. It's not like he had her like, there was part of me that wanted to talk to her, but, like, we were deep in the throes of combat. I didn't want dude to fucking misty step away with his wife. So I was like, I should probably do something now instead. And then when I take my time to energize, which didn't happen, I can just maybe talk some bullshit on my turns in. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, it didn't feel totally right just because she wasn't doing anything. But she wasn't just a bystander. Like, she was there for all of it, and she accepted all of it. It's not like she tried to fucking fight him or anything, because we would have seen a different dynamic between the two of them.
And you know what? Fuck him for even involving her at all. If he's that much of a badass that he could have just kicked our asses without help, then
No. No. See, I build him beefy. Like, he was definitely beefy, and without her help, he probably could have done some shit. But he wasn't that beefy.
Did I fuck him up pretty good cumulatively?
No. Yeah, cumulatively, yes. You did definitely a lot of damage. Those two crits were fucking murder. If I wouldn't have healed him through all that stuff. Well, reverse time technically, but yeah, that kept his yield points up, but you guys chunked him hard.
That was mostly Elias.
You were doing the stuff that I usually do, though, like that Nick usually does. Like, normally you're the DPS guy when you play characters, and I'm the one that's doing all the weird shit in the background. For whatever reason in this campaign, I somehow accidentally built the DPS guy, and you did a lot of the weird, thematic shit. Which was kind of cool to see that dynamic flip. Felt really weird most of the time.
but that was why when you guys hit him with stuff, I told you he didn't even flinch. Because now when you credited him the one time, you said where you hit him, and I'm like, well, if you put fist size holes into his lungs,
yeah.
But as far as like the normal hits went, even if they were just taken a little bit off, you know, if they were bubbling his skin or whatever, he wasn't phased. Because the way I had him is he was real strong, and he was a meat tank, essentially, and he just didn't feel that stuff. It took that away from him, and so of course he's cocky from that part, but you know, then she's keeping him alive anyways, so you go from this guy that's hard to beat down in the first place to literally impossible.
Yeah, well, but back to my point is fuck him for involving her, because he was talking enough shit that it made it sound like he could just beat the hell out of us without any help.
Well, the point of that was to keep you focused on him, not...
Yeah.
But he opened conversation. Nate was like, where's Eris? He goes, don't worry about it. She's nearby. Fuck up number one, right there.
Yeah.
Which
I'm glad that you picked up that scrap that was left behind, because I thought that, like, in my mind, the way that we were going to win this is that we had to like pop over a damage threshold to actually deal damage to him.
Nope.
Like that's where my mind was. That's
exactly why I said it like I said it when you asked. It was because I wanted to drop that little hint that she had to be close.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it was the fact Brad made the comments that like this really tall, like this beefy man showed up. And I was like, okay, so his superpower is he's like we know that one of them was quick or whatever. We all like obviously he's just a chunk. And so I was like, okay, so he's really strong. But then there was the healing factor, and I was like, that's not him. There is no realm where he's fast, beefy, and heals himself. Like
you could build that.
I'm just saying, like, looking at there's no way that he's that triple threat.
Like, that was why I made it quite obvious that when he healed, you saw it. Like, yeah, you saw that blue aura go over him, and yeah, that was why I was being obvious about that one rather than just be like, oh yeah, he fucking heals. Because I'd have definitely just been like, well, all right, you watch his wounds heal up. And that would have just been, if it was on his end, it would have just been a wounds thing. So like his fucking shirt shit would have been all torn to shit. You just see his wounds heal up.
But, yeah. And I think in that moment, I was so focused on trying to get like, I figured that like Deacon was a counter to him. And that's why I was working so hard to try to get him up.
I was
so focused on that. So this, I mean, Nate and Elias are walking along, and Nate walked right past an Oreo. And then Elias was like, "Ew, dude, there was an Oreo right here. Like, do you want the Oreo?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'll take the Oreo." Yeah. It's that I completely missed that because my focus was on something completely different.
Yeah, and yeah. I took Deacon out of the fight on purpose.
But you noticed a fucking Nutter Butter, and they're just as good. Like, Nutter Butter, I gotta be honest. I didn't say anything about the Oreo for a few rounds because I was like, man, that Nutter Butter, that's a fucking good idea. Like, I could really go for some peanut butter. And then when the peanut butter was stuck to the floor, I was like, all right, we do have an Oreo over here, though.
Is that was where my mind was, is that we had to free Deacon so that he could
he could act as a counter to whatever Luther and Eris were trying to do.
I thought about doing something that direction, but then I was like, no, because I don't. That what I have thought process wise as far as that goes would definitely just weed them out like they were nothing. That was kind of why I just blew up the baby dolls with him.
Mm-hmm.
Was because I didn't want you guys to actually fight that. I just wanted it to be.
You wanted it to be sludgy and creepy.
Yeah.
Because you're an a-hole.
And so I had him just nuke that because I'm like, all right, we'll take care of this big monster and then they can fight, you know, the big boss on their onesies.
I have two other questions in mind. One of them is been here for a while in the campaign. One of them popped into my head right just now that I hope Brad has an answer to, and if he doesn't, I'm sure he can think of one right now. Which one do you want first, Brad?
That one?
Yeah. The people in Cryo, did they get powers in the event?
Oh man, I hadn't thought of that.
Like, I mean, they're all here.
I would say yes.
I was gonna say they're all there. So in theory, you would think that, I mean, that would be a pretty big undersight for Luther and Eris to know they have all these people sleeping beneath. They set up everybody with powers. And they're like, but what about those few million people that have nothing? Like, we're going to have to do this event a few times.
No, I would say they definitely would have, because the event covered the entire area.
Which is what I figured the answer would be, but I felt like that, because it wasn't mentioned or anything, we didn't really talk about that stuff, I figured it was maybe something you hadn't thought of, and I was like, this would be pretty fucking cool.
It's definitely something I hadn't thought of.
It definitely makes waking people up a lot more difficult also. Like,
yeah.
You're going to need a whole fucking squad of people to be like, okay, you might be exhibiting superpowers. You might be exhibiting what? Oh, it's this term that Heat Lightning came up with. So they're like extra natural abilities.
You open up a cryopod to an ice cube. Oh man, that one went too far. Oh, it's moving.
Okay, did you have another one? Because I've got my finger on my nose for another question.
The only other one that I have that I can think of right now is, who the fuck was the shadow person?
So that was another superpower that had latched onto Amanda. It was a person. It was one of the bad guys. And I had latched him on to Amanda.
To make it seem like her. I super called that. Well, not super called it. Not that on the nose. But I definitely said, I was like, what if it's just something else that's chilling with her?
That was definitely your guys' first super encounter. Was the shadow one.
The dick.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. So my question involves time. Are you ready for this?
Is this going to hurt my brain?
Is it theoretically possible that Elias getting recruited and Nate getting recruited happened decades apart from each other?
Yeah.
Like, I lived in a completely different era than he did.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that that's probably just canon right there? Is that?
Oh yeah,
well, he was recruited.
That was what I said too in game, that he came in before the bubble, and then technically he's like 100 years older than you.
Well, I interpreted that as meaning that like I was asleep for a different amount of time than he was, like. Then, but well, oh, no. I, but no, for, you said that the bubble hadn't gone from up the, when he
from,
got recruited.
From what I understood, is Elias wasn't asleep.
No, ever.
Which is part of why I was so on the fence about, well, maybe I don't want to be mad at these guys, because like the world, like I was under the impression that like everything was a lie, but the world that I left wasn't a fake memory.
So the way I kind of saw things going was they started out normal. So within the first like 5 years, they had things going. They were trying to pitch things to the governments. That was when Elias came in, was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized that, you know, they're not listening. There's nothing. It's not happening. They're not taking into account this stuff. And, you know, here we are telling them bad shit's going to happen if you don't do this. So then the bubble happens and they started pulling in people slowly, like again, as he rudely phrased it, the greatest minds, when they would apply, they'd pull them in. Well, once they hit a certain point, they didn't want to just flood New Ethos with people, because that would be, you know, bad juju. So they started cryoing them. So that was kind of my thought process. And that's why they have millions of people cryoed down in the basement.
How long of a gap was there between when Nate got brought in and then when Amanda got brought in?
Well, I'd say when he would have got in when he applied.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What?
That was fucking weird. You guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Like, things decided they didn't want to work anymore. That was strange. But Nate would have got like brought in when he applied. And so his memory would have been up to the travel point. And then that's where they would have knocked him out. And then you would have just finished that when you woke up. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have even known anything went wrong. Like, they didn't edit your memory, nothing. They just finished the storyline is all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say hers would have been shortly thereafter, you know. So she might have had a few years.
Well, she fucking got remarried or got married and had a life with this other kid just a few fucking years.
Yeah, not very long. I think we explained that.
I think so. It just
makes Nate bitter. Still touchy
subject. I think it was like a year or so before she started even doing anything, and then she got with him. So it would have been like 3 or 4 years probably. And then they'd cryoed her too.
Why was she uncryoed? Just as purely, why was she decryoed? Just purely as an assistant for Deacon? Like, did he pick her?
Luther almost made it sound like it was specifically for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then they just gave her a job.
Hmm. What a dick.
He was trying to help you.
Yeah, well, you say that.
He was trying to fucking suede you is what he was trying to do. He was trying to help shit. He wanted to be like, look at the woman we made for you, kind of, in a way. It's not creepy.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, with the way you were playing Nate in the beginning and the way I had them thought up in my head, original Nate was like high on the totem pole. Like, they wanted him. Because of how focused he was and everything. So, yeah. Considering you only had really the one interaction before fucking everything blew up, literally. That's what he went off of. So he was trying to pull the strings without being able.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, sure, they could see you guys and whatnot, kind of see what's going on around the city, but obviously they couldn't watch you all the time. So.
Hmm. Dicks. Just a whole lot of them. Dicks.
Yeah. I concur with that thought path.
I don't think that I have any other, like, burning hot questions. I think that answered everything that my mind was still trying to work out.
Yeah, I'm kind of same. I don't think there's any... like anything that we didn't cover that was something that I wanted covered. Because we talked about, like, Bill losing his powers, that was fine. We know the baby people are like Luther. Luther and Eris are obviously, they were alive. The suits, that was Luther and Eris, yeah?
Yep. And original Deacon.
And original Deacon. Okay, that makes DB. Sense.
It's DB. That was DB.
Yeah, I don't...
Why baby dolls? That's a question. Why was Luther creating baby doll golems?
So, he wasn't, technically. So, I had another NPC in there that is what took Bill. And he was the one doing stuff like that, but also worked for them. And I just never found the option to bring him back in. But I had plans for all of his creations.
Yes, I'd like to punch that dude in the wanker. Like,
yeah.
Real hard.
The trash monster, that was him. The baby doll stuff, that's him. Like, his power for me wasn't out of the book, obviously. But, like, he could animate things. And I'll almost give him a sentience. Almost.
Well, but I mean, the power's in the book. That's the beauty of this system. Is, I mean, a lot of it is just suggestion. Because you can kind of... Because it is... The big thing that you get when you read it is it does kind of feel like it's aimed towards kids. Because...
Yep, it is.
B-Barst did that on purpose. He wanted to... kind of build it in a way that was easily pick upable for younger audiences. But obviously, looking at New Ethos and all that, it is... I mean, you can nip and tuck it however you need to fit whatever you need to. Because in the core book, he tells you that it's called yield points instead of hit points because people don't die, they just... They yield and they give up to the heroes, like, so you don't have to deal with having, like, little kids make their foray into D&D-esque territory and it's just a bunch of murder. Then you come to Ken, Brad, Nick. We murder people all the time. Honestly, just for fun sometimes. Oh, doesn't matter. You're some goon on the street, burn you to a crisp. You're some old lady in the basement, skin cancer. It doesn't matter. We do it all. But yeah, no, he stresses in multiple parts of the core rule book that everything, a lot of it in there is just suggestion, like just to give you an idea. He gives you kind of a simpler system to work with rather than all of the stats and D20s and all these different damage dice and stuff. A lot of it is just D6s for damage and your stats. I mean, there's only... What, that's five of them? And they're relatively simplistic. I mean, your numbers don't get too high for stuff. But it's super adaptable, too. Like, it's crazy. Because I honestly, I was a little worried when like, Brad showed it to me and stuff. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to make some, like, fucking superhero with it. Like, what? No killing people. And then Brad had me murder a man in the street. And I was like, okay, I got it. This is fine.
Well, I figured, you know, obviously we're playing it. If we're not going to not swear, we're going adult.
Yeah.
So
that's entirely valid.
That's why some of the guys got knocked out depending on damage. Some of the guys got annihilated. You know, it all kind of mattered more of how much you hit them for that last little bit.
And he has adventures of his own, too, that you can run through. Like, he has a couple of those that you can do. So if you want to test stuff out, there's like a little a canon world that he built for his little universe and stuff. There's some pre-built characters, all kinds of stuff. Not that we need to upsell it. You have 16 episodes of upselling that you can listen to. But we just want to say thanks because he reached out to us out of the blue. Asked if we wanted to fuck around with it in much nicer terms than that. And Brad said sure. And then Brad ran this campaign and it was great. It was a fucking blasty blast, man.
Oh yeah, it was very enjoyable. And I got to be
an asshole and not an asshole.
Yeah, I know. I don't normally play characters that float on that side of it very often, but it was fun.
Yeah, we
being judgmental of parents who allowed their child to get kidnapped, like,
and the kid getting kidnapped,
and the kid for getting kidnapped.
Ken and I talked about this while Brad went pee before we started recording under the trench coat, and said that like it's crazy the partnership that Elias and Nate formed, because I likened it to, I was like, it's like a buddy cop movie where they fucking hate each other at the beginning, and by the end they're like, you know what, I fucking see your value now. And it was just like, Elias was like, I'm really glad you can teach me electronics, and Nate's like, I'm glad you can teach me to socialize normally. And that's, I mean, that's why they bonded. There was no other reason for those two people to ever get along with each other, other than Nate found it somewhat laughable and a little sad that Elias didn't have a new phone and didn't know how to work the new phone, and Elias found it unbearable that Nate couldn't speak to humans. And so they worked on each other, and in that found brotherhood, as most men do with literally anything, and women too. Women can find fucking brotherhood and sisterhood and that kind of shit too, but it's definitely a stereotype of guys to just find a thing and be like, all right, we like each other now. Like, it's kind of how it goes. And I think it's beautiful that they were like as far apart as people could be, like age-wise, career-wise, smarts-wise. It's and then look at them now, you know, going out to rescue the planet from who the fuck knows what, you know.
So as a maybe at the end of this, I now, mind you, I've had this ending planned since I thought up the campaign, because that's how I do things. I may not have a whole lot of meat on the bones, because that's your guys' job, but I always make a skeleton. Coincidentally, with my pre-planned ending there.
We talked about this too.
We did.
No, I'm saying Ken and I talked about this too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The Bunkers and Badasses game comes out here soon. So this could, in theory, if I decide to run another monthly, turn into a Bunkers and Badass game.
Which, if anyone doesn't know, is the tabletop RPG that is Borderlands. It's based on the Borderlands stuff. It's made by, with the help of Borderlands people. With the good graces of all the Borderlands people. I think it's Tiny Tina's Bunkers and Badasses or whatever.
It might be.
But either way, yeah, Ken and I mentioned that. I was like, you know, honestly, by accident,
accident.
Well, I knew like you had your ending plan, because that's the same thing I do. I plan my endings first. But I told Ken, I go, I didn't try and set up our epilogue so Brad could do that. I only just thought about it now. But I go, us like tearing out into dust Earth to go save shit is very Borderlands of us. And he's like, yeah, you're not fucking wrong.
Yeah. And it just so happens that fucking Bunkers and Badasses are coming out. Like, it's a weird coincidental timing.
Yeah.
That is strange. Now, again, I don't know if I'll run another monthly or not yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, we got to work that stuff out. And like I said in episode, we'll keep everybody posted. Excuse me. And just kind of let you know what's going on from here. But it's been a fucking ride for sure. And we're not going anywhere. Riven's still here. I made that sound very like we're going away. We're not going away. You still have to deal with us.
The whole audience voting was a hell of a ride. That changed so many things in the game that I did not have planned in the slightest.
Everybody hated Nate.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Hey, Nate got a puppy.
He did get a puppy.
That was a puppy that did nothing in the BBZ fight. So
he was cuddling with DV.
No, Nick, it's Deacon when he's not DB. Come on, man. Keep up. The fuck?
Yeah. All right, but I think that I'm good if you guys are good.
Yeah, I think that I'm good.
I don't have anything on my end as far as I'm aware.
All right. Well, again, thank you all for joining us. It was a heck of a trip. I'm Brad.
I'm Ken.
Next.
Very thematic thunder. Sorry. I'm taking a breath because as soon as I say this, Heroes is over. So I got to the door and I wanted to do that one last look at the apartment. I'm Nick.
And we'll see you in Riven. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Love you.
Stop and recording.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.